Welcome back to the Sons of the American Legion radio report here on WVOX 1460 AM and heard worldwide at WVOX.com. I'm John Charan, along with Ken Kratzer, bringing you news and interviews relating to veterans in the active military. And before I pass it back to Ken, I'd like to extend special congratulations to James McLaughlin, who was a 23-year-old private first class in 1969, when as a medic, he helped save the lives of 10 individuals in battle in Vietnam, and today he's being presented with our nation's highest military honor, the Medal of Honor.
And our congratulations. We have a guest calling in from Washington, D.C., from the headquarters of the World's Largest Veterans Organization, the American Legion, and that is Jeff Steele. Jeff, how are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Good, good. We appreciate your time today. Obviously, a busy week in Washington, but what we were most concerned with here is news that the House of Representatives last week took action on a number of veterans-oriented bills on choice, on the GI Bill. Maybe you could tell us a little bit. Why don't we start with the choice program? There had been concern that the program was going to run out of money shortly, and the House approved about $3 billion, $3.9 billion for the Veterans Choice Program. Well, how does that work? Why was that important to have the money allocated to the Choice Program?
Well, Secretary Shulkin had told Congress that it would be, quote-unquote, a disaster if the Choice Program were allowed to run out of money, which it is scheduled to do by mid-August. So it was something that Congress has to take care of before they leave on recess. It was interesting watching that bill travel through Congress last week, because the first effort by the House on Monday night failed, because only Congress is only going to allocate money for the Choice Program, about $2 billion for the Choice Program to keep it going for 6 months. Major VSOs were extremely concerned about that. They wanted to see investments in the VA paired with any choice money. That's ultimately what happened on Friday. We get a bill, $2.1 billion to fund choice, and another $1 billion and so to fund to authorize 28 major medical facility leases, including one in Rochester, New York, and to enhance recruitment and retention of VA's workforce. A very balanced bill that we're happy with. Passed in the House Friday. We expect it to pass in the Senate this week before they go on recess.
And, of course, the Choice Bill provides veterans with an opportunity to seek private or community health care.
Sure.
And something, we had Congressman Jeff Miller on our show last fall. He was a strong advocate for this. But I know the VSOs, the American Legion, have had reservations. Why are there reservations about the Choice Program or this type of funding outside health care for veterans?
Well, we're concerned that there are still ideological elements in Congress that would like to see the VA privatized. Now, the concept has been so stigmatized that that nobody talks about it. So we have to be very careful. And when Congress wants to move forward with money only for the Choice Program without investments to the VA, that just raises red flags, which is why it was crucial that we defeated the bill on Monday. And the bill that came back on Friday had investments in both VA and in Choice. The American Legion supports Choice. There's no question about it. When veterans should be able to get timely care where they need it, how they need it. But veterans also love the VA. So we are protecting VA, and we are making responsible investments in the Choice Program. Also, we just like to see them always paired together almost as a matter of principle.
And obviously the budget for the Choice Programs is a small fraction of the total VA budget. If someone, a veteran, was going to a VA facility, what are some of the situations where they might use the Choice Program? I know it's available to veterans who live fairly remotely away from regular VA facilities.
Well, I can think of, say, female veterans who cannot get maternity care at a VA facility would obviously go out the choice. That's a very obvious one. If the VA facility near them does not offer the service and this veteran needs the service, then they should be able to go to choice. Just that simple.
Okay. Hey, another key piece of legislation that we've talked about really since the new GI Bill was inaugurated almost 10 years ago, is the new Educational Assistance Act of 2017. And I know it has a couple of benefits now that will extend the opportunity. In some cases, it's been referred to as a forever GI Bill. Maybe tell us a little bit about the new GI Bill Act.
Yes. Well, the post 9/11 GI Bill left out certain subsets of service members and veterans who it was real inequity that they were not able to get the GI Bill. For example, if two soldiers deploy to Afghanistan, one gets wounded in the first week that he's there, has to go to Landstuhl to recuperate for 10 months. That time in recuperation would not count towards the GI Bill. So if you went to Afghanistan, you served your time, you didn't get injured, you got your time for the GI Bill, that's all good. But the person who got injured shouldn't. So this resolves that inequity. So there's a number of these kind of inequities that the bill deals with. And then, more important, and above and beyond that, it also then eliminates the 15-year expiration date, allowing future recipients of the GI Bill. It would not be retroactive, and it does not grandfather in past service members, past veterans. It would be prospective from January forward, allowing them to use their GI Bill benefits after forever. That's the forever GI Bill. Now, we, the American Legion, because it's named after past National Commander Harry W. Comerie, who wrote the original GI Bill, we refer to it as the Comerie GI Bill. But it is too early in the game to know how it's going to be referred to, you know, historically. Like, there was a Montgomery GI Bill, there was the post 9/11, there was the original GI Bill. But I will always think of it as the Comerie GI Bill.
Okay, now, these two measures, the GI Bill Act of 2017 and the bill supporting the CHOICE Act, now would have to move on to the Senate. What's, again, the process for a final approval of these two important pieces of legislation?
Well, since there are broad agreement on these two pieces of legislation, they probably will not see floor time. They will be brought before the Senate on what's called unanimous consent. In other words, there's sufficient consensus that they'll just pass almost by a voice vote. We expect that to happen this week before they leave. We hope it will happen. CHOICE has to. The question is GI Bill, but we've talked to Senator Schumer's office, and we think he's going to allow that to move. And so we're hoping that, yeah, both of those come through this week. In addition, we're working to get the American Legion's 100th anniversary commemorative coin act through the Senate this week also.
And you must be encouraged by the fact that in an age of dysfunction in Congress that you can get unanimous support for veterans issues like this from both sides of the aisle.
Well, it has been fascinating watching what legislation is making it through Congress, and it has already been observed that given the issues that Congress has had on other matters like the health care debate, that it may well be the case that President Trump may look back at his first year and the major victories he has are veterans' bills.
Well, that'd be great. Any other key parts to those bills that are moving forward?
Well, I mean, Congress passed like 14 pieces of veterans, or the House passed 14 pieces of veterans legislation. The Senate, they ought now go over to the Senate. The big ones, obviously, the CHOICE funding, the GI Bill. But they are pieces of legislation that would deal with recruitment and retention at the VA, personnel matters at the VA, accountability at the VA,
sure.
Procurement issues, just a whole slew of issues. They were very productive last week.
That's great. Hey, Jeff Steele, calling from the Washington, D.C. headquarters of the world's largest veterans organization, the American Legion. Really appreciate your time today and your update on this very important set of legislation going through House and moving to the Senate this week.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, Jeff, we'll talk soon. Thanks again.
And bye-bye.
We're very pleased. The American Legion Convention comes up next in a couple of weeks, and we received the Robert Merrill Award at the American Legion National Press Association luncheon.
A major national award, the first time ever for our little radio program here. You've been listening to the Sons of the American Legion radio report here on WVOX 1460 AM and heard worldwide at WVOX.com. We thank today's special guest, Jeff Steele of the American Legion. Until next week, remember to thank a veteran.